It was the Latrobe Valley's biggest and longest burning mine fire in the most extreme weather conditions Victoria had seen since Black Saturday. The fire earlier this year at the Hazelwood open cut mine in Victoria's Latrobe Valley burned over 45 days. It caused chaos for emergency management authorities and sent smoke and ash over the town of Morwell. The independent inquiry, chaired by the former Supreme Court Judge Bernard Teague, has released its recommendations, 18 of them, in a hefty 400-page report. Rachel Brown's at the inquiry and joins me now. So, is this an exercise in finger-pointing? Do we know who was to blame?
To some extent, the general message for many of the parties involved was that they did too little too late. This is certainly so of the mine owner and operator, GDF Sewers. 6 of the 18 recommendations are directed squarely at it. The inquiry has recommended GDF Sewers improve its emergency response plan and have a command centre already set up, ensure its backup supply power doesn't rely solely on mains power, which was a huge problem during the fire, because damage to power lines knocked out 2 major water pumping stations. And the mine operator has also been told it has to have better risk assessments of fires and adopting firefighting carbon monoxide protocols. Here's what board member Professor John Catford had to say.
I think it was foreseeable. We know that the GDF Sewers didn't take as many precautions as they might have done to mitigate, reduce the risk of fire. We've made a series of recommendations about how that risk can be mitigated into the future, particularly focused on a risk assessment, which we are critical of not being undertaken, despite the fact that it had been recommended previously when an earlier fire had been investigated.
One of the Morwell Fire Board members, Professor John Catford. Rachel Brown, what about the mine operator and the huge breakdown in communications with the Country Fire Association?
Yes, the board says the mine operator didn't request CFA help until hours after the fire started, then just assumed its request would be met when, at that time, the CFA was facing huge resourcing threats from other fires across the valley. The CFA has escaped, as far as I can tell, any major blame for the severity and duration of this fire. The panel thought, given the fire's unlimited supply of fuel, that the CFA could suppress and extinguish it without interrupting Victoria's power supply was a tremendous achievement.
And what about the smoke and the fumes and the ash and what the townspeople had to go through, asthma and nosebleeds and all of that? What's the board said about the health authorities and the community?
Yeah, well, we heard for months the community at the time was very concerned about the mixed messages it was getting. On one hand, the CFA was issuing watch and act notices. On the other hand, the Chief Health Officer, Rosemary Lester, was telling people that EPA air quality readings showing very high levels of carbon monoxide and high levels of tiny invisible particles known as PM2.5 particles, which can cause respiratory problems. Now, at the time, that at times had a concentration of 28 times the advisory standard. Now, Rosemary Lester told the community that these readings were only spot readings and she didn't deem it necessary to issue community warnings or advice. But the inquiry found Rosemary Lester had sufficient information very early in the piece to advise vulnerable residents to relocate. Instead, she waited 2 weeks, which it says was too late. Here's Professor John Catford again.
It's always easier in hindsight to look back, but certainly that first weekend around the 15th to 16th of February, which was probably the weekend with the highest levels of pollution, in our view, was the trigger for more active management and advice to consider relocating for vulnerable groups. We didn't think that there was sufficient evidence to advise a mass evacuation. We think it was an appropriate response to advise those in vulnerable groups to consider relocating. Our view, based on the information that we had before us after the event, was it would have been better if that advice had been given earlier.
Professor John Catford, a board member on the Morwell Inquiry. Our reporter was Rachel Brown.